Hi there folks, Paul here, back again, wrapping up the second video of this part in our study in the book of James. We've been talking about the section, James chapter 1, 12 through to 20, trials and temptation. And we wrapped up the last video looking at, just touching on verse 15, then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and when it's sin, of course, is fully grown, it brings forth death. It wasn't a good place, fantastic place to leave the video, but of course I also made mention, and I hope, that you did take the time to go and read 2 Corinthians chapter 5, reading about us as the new creation in Christ, where our sin was put upon Christ, his righteousness through faith in him, then imputed unto us. But we fight this fight, we fight this struggle against the flesh, the new man and the old man at war with each other, as Paul said it. Oh, wretched man that I am, I do that which I do not want to do, and I do not do that which I want to do. Yes, I get it. I get it. But we cannot play games with the old man of the flesh. We must crucify him daily, put him to death, and be transformed by the renewing of our mind. In Christ, through Scripture, walking in faith and walking in the Spirit. Let's continue on here, verse 15, James chapter 1. Then when desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. We've been talking about how trials are there to perfect and prove, strengthen our faith, but temptations are there to solicit, sin and evil from us. But God does not tempt us. No, that comes from the enemy. So when desire is conceived, what desire? The desire to sin. And I don't know about you, if I'm a guy, I'm talking to men right now, most likely, and I'm sure it can be the same for women also, but I speak from personal experience. When for a man, I lived on the coast most of my life, and I would go to the beach sometimes with the intention of just wanting to look at the women. But I would then take those things home with me. And this desire to sin, these memories, these thoughts, the desire to sin was there. And that desire, when it becomes full blown, which happens and is horrible, it's not just a thought anymore. It's a thought that you've had time and time and time again, and you then find yourselves in the arm of a woman. Man, I'm talking to you right now. You find yourselves in the arm of a woman that you're not supposed to be with because it's outside that covenant of marriage. It brings forth death. And death is the consequence of sin. Spiritual death. It's what happened. The snake, the enemy, Satan spoke to Eve. Oh, you will not surely die. You eat of the fruit, you'll become like God. And then they lived for another 900 years or so. I'm not quite sure. But the spiritual death, the connection, the relationship, the bind between them and God was broken when sin entered that world, when they disobeyed their father in that beautiful covenant relationship which they had from the very beginning. The whole point and purpose while Christ came was to restore that relationship with God by removing the penalty of sin, that disconnection from God, from us. And through faith, by his grace, through faith, we are saved. Here's the thing. We know this now, modern science, modern technology, more experience in just life. Death is the consequence of sin, spiritual death, but we also know that anxiety, worry, these things impact the natural body through illness. Yes. Yes. They lead us closer to death. Yes. Yes. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin, the price paid for sin. What? Death. Yes. And of course, in the Old Testament, we see this example, the animal sacrifices, the Day of Atonement. It was incomplete. It had to be an annual thing, and it had to be done in such manner to be perfect, you know, before God, but incomplete, thus the need for Jesus. And I left off the last video, I believe, with this, 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he, God, made him Jesus. he who knew no sin, to become sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. Our sin upon him, his righteousness upon us by faith. So Jesus, sin-free, became sin for us. And then immediately, what is the penalty? What is the penalty? The wages of sin are death. And that's what happened. That's what we're talking about here. In James, he understands this. But in our Christ case, praise God, he rose again. Yes, he did. 3 days later, he rose again. And as 1 Peter, I've written it down here, 1:3, blessed be the God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again. Oh, we have been born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And that is what our faith hangs on. And if any man or any angel should tell you otherwise, let them be cursed. Our faith is not just in Jesus as living and walking on the planet. Even unbelievers acknowledge a man called Jesus who was a great teacher. Our faith is in the cross of Christ and the resurrection from the dead. That's it. That's what we believe in. And that is the faith that leads to salvation. So, coming back here to our scripture, verse 16, if I can just clarify a little bit further. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. I'm spending the time on these things today, the difference between trials, the difference between temptations, the fact that sin, that it begins as a desire, when it is then conceived, when it is born, can lead to death. I'm spending time on these things because I do not want you to get mixed up. And we do get mixed up sometimes. Understand this, verse 17, every good gift, every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Every good gift, every perfect gift. Two different Greek words. This is important, emphasizing the point. Coming down from the Father of lights. Our God who created the universe. We see here on earth, we see day, we see night. We see an eclipse, we see, you know, daylight, nighttime in daylight. We see these divisions, not for God who created the universe and all of the suns and the stars and the beauty and the majesty that in there is no shadow in him. There is not day, there is not night. It is always light. Our Father of lights who created the universe. No variation. No shadow of turning. Malachi 3. I am the Lord your God. I do not change. Hebrews 13. Jesus Christ, knowing that Jesus is God also incarnate in the flesh. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we can hold fast in our faith in this. And I love verse 18. Oh, it's like a bomb dropping. If you haven't understood this yet and you read verse 18, of his will. Of his will he brought us forth by the word of truth that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creature. Of his will. Those three words. We see this again in John 1. We see it in John 15, Romans 8, Romans 9, Ephesians 1, Ephesians 2, many, many, many more of his will. Jesus said it best when he said, no one comes to me unless the Father sends them. And then clarified also at a different time, and no one gets to the Father unless he comes through me. They are one. He said that, I think it was Philip. Philip said, show me the Father. Jesus said, have you been with me for so long and you have not, you cannot see? Do you not know that I and the Father are one? How can you say, show us the Father? If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Of his will. And this is a study for another time, but I'd love to do it. I'd love you to join me, or I'd love you to do it on your own. How he called us first. Before we could even begin to consider responding, how he knew us first from the beginning of time as he knit us together in our mother's womb. Verse 19, and we see so then. So here's the conclusion. My beloved brethren, Let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. There are many times in Scripture where we read, therefore, or, and so then. This is the summary. This is how it all comes together. And we look here. We need to be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. I was always told as a kid, two ears, one mouth. Listen twice as much as you speak. I was never very good at it, but I was certainly told it. How much more could we engage in a conversation if we just allowed the other person to listen? And we didn't have to put forward our point and say, yes, this is what I want. No, 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 no. There was a business teacher, Stephen Covey, who I spent some time studying, and one of his principles, Seven Habits, I think it was, of Highly Effective People, something like that. One of the principles, number five possibly, said, seek first to understand before being understood. Give that a moment's thought. And this is very much a biblical principle that we should seek to understand. What is it that you want to say? What is it you're trying to say? Help me to understand your point of view, because then in the understanding, then I can show and I can represent Christ. See, Christ understood. He spent a lot of time with the downtrodden, the sinners, the wretched, the poor, the marginalized. He spent a lot of time with them. He understood they needed someone who would, one, listen to them, but then two, bring them hope, which is exactly what he did. But we see here also verse 20, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Boy, we could do an entire Sunday sermon just on this. And certainly as men, we need it sometimes. How often do we wish that we could just take it back? We've said something, we want to take it back. The truth is, there are no takebacks. The number of times, you know, I have a beautiful marriage now, just blessed beyond what I imagined was even possible. Like, it's the picture I had. This is what it could or should be like, Lord. I wish it could be so. And I have that, and I praise God for that. But now I still suffer from foot in mouth disease. And sometimes I wish I could take it back, even just last week, and I'm not going to go into the details. If my beautiful wife listens to this, you're going to go, Three times in the space of an hour, I'm trying to make things better, but I'm not. Foot in mouth disease. Oh boy, what's said is said, what's done is done. We cannot take it back. We can apologize, but we still remember. We can forgive, but we don't forget. But God can. God does. Jeremiah 31:34, he says, I will remember their sins no more. Oh, I still remember my sins. I wish I didn't. God says he doesn't, because he looks upon me now and sees through my faith Christ. That's what I want for you. In James chapter 3, and we'll get to it, he talks about the untamable tongue, foot and mouth disease. Yeah, the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. No, indeed it does not. In no way, let me make this clear, in no way can your anger, and through your anger, can you produce and show the love and righteousness of God. You just can't. You need to be thinking. You need to be praying. Praying, that's the key. Not just thinking, praying. Be a doer, not just a hearer of the word. Pray that the fruit of the Spirit becomes so evident in your life that people just want to come up and love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, goodness. The last one, self-control. I think I got them in the wrong order there. Self-control, the last one. Let no man say when he is tempted by God, for God cannot tempt anyone. You are tempted by your own desires. There is no sin in the temptation. Let me just say that. Temptations will come, temptations will go. There is no sin in the temptation. But if you do not exude the fruit of the Spirit, one of which is self-control, you'll be enticed and you will sin and you will step and you will fulfill a desire of your fleshly, carnal man. Self-control for us men, oh boy, that's a big one. Don't be a carnally minded Christian. Paul talks about 1 Corinthians chapter 3. You need to live in the love of the Spirit. We need to walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh. We cannot be a believer who has one foot in the church and one foot in the world. No, it doesn't work like that. There cannot be separation in that manner. Jesus said, he spoke in Revelations, I wish that you were either hot or cold, but you are lukewarm. I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. No, you cannot have one foot in Christ and another in the curse, which is the world. Do not be a carnally minded Christian. Be an example for Christ every single day. You know, that's what this letter from James is all about. It's practical wisdom, and that's what I love about it. All right, when we pick up next time, we're going to go into doers, not hearers, from verse 21 through 27. Read ahead for me, if you would, please. I'd love you to do that. Maybe jot down some of your own notes, and we'll compare notes when we come together for the next video. God bless, brothers, sisters. I pray that God be with you this day, this week, that his blessing be upon you, that he would give you peace, yes, and that if you're struggling, oh boy, I pray that you will come on your knees to him and lift your hands up in praise and in worship, for we worship him in the good days, we worship him in the bad days. We worship him not because of what's happening or who we are, we worship him because of who he is. God bless. Talk soon. Bye-bye.